Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. Dyslexia influences at least 1 in 10 people and is a genetic difference in an individual's ability to learn and process information. So as a result, dyslexic individuals have differing abilities with strengths in creative, problem-solving and communication skills, and challenges with spelling, reading and memorising facts. Generally, a dyslexic cognitive profile will be uneven when compared to a neurotypical cognitive profile. This means that dyslexic individuals really do think differently. Now, history has shown that great dyslexic minds can bring tremendous gifts to the world, like the many great dyslexic innovators, artists and leaders before them. If they feel empowered and learn to see dyslexia differently, creativity and success is celebrated by many people that have dyslexia. Albert Einstein, Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, and Steven Spielberg. Yes, these are names of famous people with dyslexia. Today on Kick-Ass Radio, we welcome mental health, wellbeing, and dyslexia advocate, author and successful businesswoman, Yogita Ridgely. Yogita has struggled with dyslexia for her entire life. School, because it involved reading and writing and memorising things in sequence, and it was a nightmare for her. But the happy ending that will resonate with all listeners, that not only did Yogita survive school and growing up, she has thrived. Today, Yogita is a multi-award accredited author, speaker, blogger, advocate and successful businesswoman, CEO and founder of Travelling With Me, Myself and I, which offers personal and business development through travel and mindset. Yogita also shares helpful information so that we can all gain a better understanding of the condition with patience, optimism and perseverance. Today on the show, we are going to chat to Yogita and she will talk about the positive changes that have occurred over her lifetime dealing with dyslexia in her career and business and what still needs to be done. So you are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. And today I'm streaming from the beautiful Emporium Hotel in Brisbane because I've been away, and I am away, doing some events. So I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. A huge shout-out to all the women working on track and on site today all over the globe. Stay safe and have a fantastic day or night shift. And this might also be a good time to warn the listeners that today's radio show does and may contain some adult language. Let's get into it. Hello, Yogita.
Hello, Jo. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity.
Thank you for coming onto the show and for sharing some of your valuable time with us today. Now, I know you're super busy, but I also know we are all going to enjoy your company and we're going to get some welcome advice and knowledge base. So let me just say that I really, firstly, admire you and your passion and commitment and the enormous amount of work you have been doing in the space of empowering women, dyslexia and mental health and wellbeing. So thank you for that. To kick things off, Yogita, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey through life to date with dyslexia.
As you mentioned, I am dyslexic. It is something I had not so brave to actually admit for most of my life, so to speak. When I tried to say how many years, it shows how old I am. So I try to avoid that. For over 30 years, I have literally spent all my energy, all my being to hide the fact that I'm dyslexic. Not because you know, it is something to be ashamed of. But my perception of dyslexia was the fact that, you know, we are not good enough, as we were, as I was told over the years in school, and we are dumb, we are lazy, you name it. And I was told that. So growing up, I really struggled with that. That became my identity, that I am not good enough and I'm not smart enough and I will not amount to anything as I grow up. And then my personality is a little bit of a stubbornness. So the more people said that you can't do this, the more I got fired up that I can.
And you dug your heels in.
Sorry?
You dug your heels in.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I dug my heels in. I got more fired up. I could feel that fire in my belly that kept saying to me, keep going. There's more to this. There's more to life than just this. You're more than just dyslexic. So, you know, the only way I could change this is by rewording my brain tattoo that was, you know, I'm not smart enough, I'm stupid, and I'm this and I'm that. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started the personal development journey for myself. And that journey literally transported me from playing a victim role to really getting out there and embracing this fact that I'm dyslexic and be proud and loud about it. And whoever doesn't understand, it's fine. That is their problem. It is their issue. They don't need to love me. They don't need to hate me. They don't need to understand me. I'm on a path that I'm just going to keep going, doesn't matter what. And then I found, as I kept stepping up to be brave, like, you know, the bravery doesn't come overnight, because the self-discovery and the self-journey of growth, it is over time. And that is like the real authentic work. It is not something that, you know, you just put another mask on and pretend to have the confidence, which I used to do before. So now it is in a place where I feel that I actually attract the beauty of other people who embrace the fact that I'm different. I attract the beauty of other people who embrace the fact that I'm honest and I am real and I'm not worried about people's judgments. And that's what I love doing now, as in my work, I actually help other people with their personal development and business development. And the reason the two go together, because a lot of people ask me, why business development? Because businesses are run by people. And the more we understand that, the quicker we will actually get over this lot of problems that we have in business spaces. Like, you know, being a dyslexic, I was always scared that I will lose my job if people found out that I'm dyslexic. It didn't matter if I had a degree. It didn't matter if I had, you know, kicked all goals in my career. I was constantly living in fear that if my boss found out, if my team found out, if my, you know, people that we work with, our clients found out, I would get fired. And to live in fear, it is not a place you want to be.
No, definitely
it is not a place.
Not.
Yes, absolutely. It is not a place that we are, a lot of us do live there and we don't know it. And when I brought the awareness to the fact that I was living there and it is not right, I had to do something to change it. And that's where my whole background comes from. And I hope I have answered your question.
And with that, so I'll just prompt you there again. Sure. You started off in a corporate career. So how did you manage to get into the corporate career of an accountant? You studied accountancy. And for someone that has dyslexia, are we assuming that that would have been a struggle for you, or did you actually handle that challenge?
Absolutely. So I finished my uni with a degree in Bachelor of Commerce, Accounting and Economics as my major.
Yeah.
And when I finished, it was like, thank God I don't have to learn anymore. It was just that confirmation, that stubbornness that I mentioned. If a person that is just normal, neuro, you know, wired, spends an hour on their project or their assignment, multiply that by 10. That's how hard I had to work.
Yeah. And that's, and like, I applaud you for doing that and how you stood defiant and resolute across much of your life, both here in Australia and abroad. So, yes, starting off in corporate and at that crossroads through your transition to what you do now and in your travels, you have discovered the inner peace and balance you deserve. So you seem to have brilliantly captured the fears and the failures and successfully challenged that status quo. So congratulations to you for that courageous journey.
Thank you. Thank you. It really is one of,
No, keep going. It really is,
It really is one of those things that now when I meet people, especially younger girls and kids still at school, I say girls because I relate to them emotionally as being a female. But it really applies to anybody, doesn't matter, male or female. When we have kids who are struggling, and a lot of my clients are parents who are coming to me saying, hey, my kids are struggling with dyslexia, what do I do? And this is where it is super important to make sure that you don't self-diagnose yourself or your kids, because dyslexia, there is a very, very fine line with neurodiversity.
Diversity.
It could be anything. It could be anything. So my advice to anybody who are connecting with this message and this listening to this podcast, that don't self-diagnose yourself or your child. Make sure you get it done professionally, because you know, we actually have million and one information on Google nowadays and everything around us, and we can definitely get this wrong. So that's one of the things I do want to say every time we talk about dyslexia, is that, you know, proper diagnosis helps, and it also gives you insights on what your abilities are. Like, not all dyslexias are same. Some are actually just very mild, and some are very extreme. So there is a different balance in itself as well.
And that's right. And dyslexia is a subcontent of neurodiversity. It's not just dyslexia alone in regards to neurodiversity. Right. So with that, we still, and like from your own experience, so what happens with children, teens, adults accepting their dyslexia challenges? We talk about the world of work dramatically changing, but do we appreciate what this could really mean? So when considering neurodiversity, we have only just begun to understand the potential value that can be obtained from varying cognitive profiles, like we were talking about. The workplace of the future is hard to imagine, but there can be a little doubt that people's interaction with technology will be multifaceted, and it will not be as simple as discrete jobs, tasks and roles. You know, there's a lot of skills that have been broken down into component parts and matched to be matched, you know, with the needs of typical dyslexic profiles, because it's clear that there is an enormous untapped potential available from dyslexic individuals working with cognitively, that's a tough word, diverse teams. And, you know, that's necessary for successful organisations, for that diversity. And as we said, there's lots of talented and creative individuals out there that have dyslexia. So,
Absolutely. The school system has been made from the traditional school system that is like definitely in need for a change. And, you know, that change is so desperately wanted and desired by all the new generation coming through. But the school system has been made just to teach people how to learn things and then repeat them.
Yeah.
Basically, to pass the exams and then go on to do like 8 to 5, that kind of work, which is already very much made in a way that is just repeating the same job again and again. Whereas dyslexic mind does really struggle with those boundaries, because the mind doesn't actually learn things to repeat. it actually learned things to understand why. And I remember as a child, I used to ask this question, why, all the time. And my poor mom used to go, because I said so. And that was like, you know, for a dyslexic mind, it did not understand like why there is not a reason. So we don't, and like if you say this is apple, we need to touch, feel, bite, squeeze, cut, all of those things that needs to happen before you just accept it's an apple. So, you know, that's where the creative mind comes from. That's where the innovation comes from. That's where we do things differently. And that's where the leadership comes from as well, because we don't have the desire to be loved by people, like because we have grown into that space where everything has a different meaning to that, you know, that space where people just do things because someone in the front has done it and you just follow like a herd of cows, you know.
And that's, so, and yes, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, so it is very, very skillful way of thinking, and definitely the way the future is heading, because the way, like at the moment, you look at anything, intelligence is really just taken over by computers and technology, and you know, most of our jobs are already replaced by computers and technology, and then we have this new thing, you know, artificial intelligence that's coming in. So that all just keeps on confirming the fact that the repeatness of what the jobs has been is going to go. Yes. So what is going to be left behind is the creativity.
Definitely.
And the creativity is not taught. It is something that is experienced. No. It is something that is either there or not there. So that's where the future is going. And to have this diversity in workplace, it is going to really help that company flourish. It is going to help that business step up and stand out. Whereas right now we look at everything around us and all we get is this, everyone's doing the same thing. The second you put something out there, 5 million people that are following you have copied exactly what you just said. So hence the repeatness. That's our in our DNA, the normal neural brain is it's just repeat, repeat, repeat. That's the only way they learn. They don't learn from experiments. And that's where my trouble comes in. And people ask me, why trouble? So I'm sure you have a question after this, so I'll leave it there for that later on.
And that's a great response, Yogita, because like for decades, dyslexic individuals have been expected to fit in and measured and benchmarked for the very skills they find challenging. But put simply, the workforce of today and tomorrow needs dyslexic thinking, and dyslexic individuals should no longer be expected to fit in, but rather stand out and focus on their strengths. So, yes, the way of the future is the dyslexic thinking skills are the in-demand skills of the changing world of work. So, now, I know you have worn many hats throughout your career and in life, but I know that you wear a very significant hat now and one that you are very passionate about. So tell us about your business, Travelling With Me, Myself and I, and what inspired you more so to create this startup, an amazing inspirational business, and what tools did you use that become your strategy for and the quest for helping others in their self-discovery?
Yeah, how many hours have you got?
Not that many today.
Okay, so as you already know, I'm dyslexic and I really struggled and I had a very lower self-esteem and I had really had that brain tattoo. My wiring, my self-talk again and again and again was, I'm stupid, I'm lazy, I'm dumb, I will not make something of myself. And I, you know, being stubborn, I kept on pushing boundaries and achieving things that quietly kept on fueling that fire in my belly. And then I became a mum. And as you know, mums, you know, your little beings, they are literally a mirror. Whether we like it or not, they're our mirror. So everything we do, they copy and then they mimic and then they be. And I found my two beautiful girls that were just absolutely born with all the tools and everything that needed to be genius and amazing and great. they were mimicking my low self-esteem. They were like literally doing exactly what I was wanting them not to do. Yeah. So I had to step up and not just talk the talk, but actually walk the talk. So I had to be the example. And the only way I could do that was separating myself, which is being within the problem. You have to remove yourself from the problem to be able to see what the problem is so you can fix it. And I started that by actually really running away from my life, which wasn't the best option, but that was the option I had at the time. Yeah. Running away from my life on a solo trip. And I literally just booked it without asking anybody, without telling anybody. And when I say just booked it, a solo trip, that doesn't mean I'm alone. I have got family, I've got kids, I've got husband, I've got job, I've got, at the time I was a general manager of a hotel, so it wasn't really like I could just go without telling anybody or asking anybody. But by following my intuition in that moment was the best thing I did, because there were so many fears and excuses that I could have not done that trip. So when I found myself alone in a total different place, a total different country, and a total different surrounding, there were so many aha moments. Yes, I was scared, and yes, it was really scary, and the fear was constantly there. And I kept on saying to myself, I can always just go back. Let me just see if I can book another, my return ticket earlier. But for some reason, I kept on pushing. And that space that gave me what I needed, and that was to actually look at myself and look at who I am and look at what I'm doing from the outside, like looking at the problem from the outside. And this is what people fail to do. And that's why they keep on doing the same thing and expecting different results. And so this is where my business started, Traveling With Me, Myself and I. So I really believe that the business found me instead of me finding the business. And then, of course, being a little bit of a creative and innovative mind, I created a platform that supported women, empowered women, and educated women how to use travel and how to use all the tools to be on the road and stay safe and stay smart, and also use that into their own daily lives. So there's two meanings to traveling with me, myself and I. So traveling through the world, which helps you and empowers you to travel through your life spiritually, mindfully, and with intention. So, you know, when we talk about this, people get really inspired, but they actually, it's not as easy. Like, a lot of people are tourists, they're not travelers. And the difference between the two is tourists are always looking for entertainment and travelers are always looking for education.
And inspiration, that's right.
Inspiration, yes, absolutely. So something that transforms them instead of just entertains them and you come back home and start working like mad to go on holiday again. So I mean, I do tourist as well, because with families it's nice to go on a holiday, but also I do a solo travel trip, not at the moment, but I can't wait for it to start again.
Start up again, that's right.
Absolutely, yeah, at least once a year you have to. I have promised myself to go somewhere new and do something new that I haven't done before.
Yeah. And I, in your own words, I've got this: the key to self-discovery is getting out of your comfort zone. You cannot see the complete picture unless you step out of the frame. And I love that analogy, because I also believe the most important tool in a self-discovery journey is you. You need to invest in yourself first before you can make any progress on the journey. So the best ROI is investing in yourself. And it is about looking outside your comfort zones, having the guts to show up as the brightest, happiest, kick-ass version of yourself. And that's whatever it looks like to you. So in order to do that, all we need to do is make one simple gear shift. And it's, you need to go from wanting to change your life to deciding to change your life. And that's all part of the journey. So, yes, yeah, I think self-discovery is definitely getting out of that comfort zone and identifying those issues and confronting them and dealing with them. Yeah,
absolutely. One of the things that I have learnt is in my time on the road is that a lot of people were doing exactly the same thing. They were either running away from something or running towards something, but they didn't know what. And that what is very important, and that why is very important. Like, my why was my two girls. The reason I needed to change the way I live and the way I am, the way I think about me and I identify myself, was important because I wanted my girls to have more than me. I wanted them to be the best version of themselves. For that to happen, I had to be the best version of me.
Yourself,
and this manifested in not just helping myself and my daughters, but now helping lots of other women all around the world. And just seeing the transformation in them, that they actually are, you know, able to see the true version of what needs to change. Because a lot of us work very hard and constantly on this journey of self-discovery, but our perception actually only allows us to see what we are hypnotized by the world to see. And to actually really do the actual work, we need to unhypnotize ourselves first. It's like, you know, if you think of a computer or a keyboard, you gotta delete everything before you put in new stuff. You can't keep on putting in new stuff,
and
it's not
top.
Going to stick. Yeah, that's right. Similar concepts. Our mind is already programmed from everything we've done in our lives with society, everything we listen to, everything we read, people we hang out with, all of those things. And we're constantly learning, doesn't matter whether we know it or not. So this is where you have to be learning intentionally, not just taking information generally by anyone and everyone. And that's why solo travel helps, because you are alone. So you're not talking to people and listening
to people.
You're actually listening to your own thoughts. And the more you do that, the more you listen to your own thoughts, the more you start to really know what makes you happy, what makes you tick, what makes you sad, what makes you excited, and so forth and so forth.
All right. So we're going to take a little break and listen to one of our show sponsors, and we'll be back to talk to Yogita very soon.
Hey, Glowgetters. Have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Thanks for tuning back in, where we're getting to know Yogita Ridgely of Travelling Me, Myself and I. Now, Yogita, life throws us many challenges here at home, let alone being in a foreign country. So can you tell us any funny stories or experiences you encountered or some challenges you faced whilst travelling solo, and how you handled yourself in those sticky situations, if they were sticky?
Yes, I have many. I have traveled through 54 different countries solo, so I have many stories to tell. It could probably be a podcast for the 12 months. But one that really, really sticks is one of the very first ones. And I was traveling from Paris down to Lyon. And at the beginning of the of my travels, I didn't speak many other languages. I do now, but at the time, my French was extremely challenged. And that included the fact that I couldn't read what the ticket said. And so when I got on the train from Paris going down to Lyon, I got on the wrong train. And not just that, the train actually was on its way to Barcelona. And halfway through, we got a conductor that came over to check tickets. And between my really bad French and his really bad English, we figured out I was on the wrong train. And then the train was not supposed to stop anywhere. It was supposed to go straight through. And this particular conductor, bless his heart, there was a station that we were going to go straight through. He stopped there. And he let me off and he told me what to do after that to get to the right place. So I got off and then I just sat there and I was literally bawling my eyes out thinking, what am I doing? This is too hard. I am not going to be, I'm not enjoying this. I want to go home. And this is like literally 5-year-old me, and I'm not a really pretty crier. I'm just messy all over, and my, I'm just like shaking because I'm really like now scared because I don't really know where I am. And then a lady walks past and she says to me, "Are you okay?" And she had a perfectly good English. And I thought, oh, thank God. And then she says to me, she goes, "Oh, no, 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 don't worry. It's so easy from here to where you need to go, which was Lyon. It's only like 40 minutes on the train, and the train comes quite regularly. You're not to worry at all." And she says, "Let's go. I'll buy you coffee and calm you down," and blah, 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 blah. Long story short, we are still friends, and I have visited her many times, and she's visited me here in Australia many times.
So that's these wonderful. Are the
things, these are the things that we don't encounter. It's not part of our plan. Mm. And it teaches us that life should not be a plan. It should be a desire, but just be open to lots of different things that might come your way, might change your direction, might throw you off the path that you think you should be on. And I got to see the city or the town that I was, stopping at to change my trains. I got to meet new people. I got to meet this amazing woman. And it is just one of those things that we are always so trained or hypnotized that we stick to the itinerary, do what we're supposed to do when we're traveling. Don't change your plans. We don't have time for anything else. We are not letting other opportunities come through. So when we just like not have time for anything else, it's the way we live our lives, don't have time for anything else. So definitely changed me the way I live my life. Now, I have like an idea of what I want to do, but I don't fine print everything. Whereas before I used to fine print everything because I was a total control freak.
I think a lot of us are in that realm. But as the saying goes, friendships are formed, experiences are formed out of the least expected encounters. So, as you said, you made a lifelong friend out of that lady that lent her hand at helping you. So, yes, anything off the plan, off your holiday itinerary, anything offbeat, in the back roads, are where all your best moments are encountered. And I know that from experience as well. Like, I love tripping the back roads and the back streets of places that we go to in foreign countries and experiencing all those little moments with the locals. You experience the new culture, their true culture, their true personalities, and everyone is always so very giving and happy to see you and to show you their community and how they live and how they work. And they're always usually so giving. So
absolutely. There is this thing, we are grown up, don't talk to strangers. Yes. We taught that from the second we are born. And then we do that as we grow up. The funniest thing I have actually experienced and the most beautiful thing, that the world is full of beautiful people. There are some, yes, we always have to be careful. There are some that are not going to be wanting the best for you, but that is life. But the second I started to really embrace the fact that the world is full of beautiful people, I just had attracted many, many, many beautiful people everywhere I go. Which is amazing because, like they say, how you feel about the world is how the world gives it to you. And so people go out traveling, and I meet them quite often in my travel groups, that they have got lots of stories that are really dangerous. They got their bags got, pinched. They got mugged and, all of those things. But their mindset is that the world is dangerous.
Yes, that's right.
And then they attract all that danger. So what I love doing is really educating people how to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And when you're hoping for the best, it just unfolds as you're traveling through. And like you said, the most beautiful things live in the unknown. And this is really relevant. Now my message is getting more relevant because of what COVID has done. You know, everything is unknown. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to be. We're all like getting excited because we are told the world is going to open, we can travel, but there are no guarantees. This is what life is about. And if we just live it exactly the way it is, instead of stepping too much in the future or too much in the past, we are going to enjoy it a lot more. And that's what traveling does. You know, you just stay in the moment, because if you step out of the moment and you go in the past or the future, you totally miss that beautiful scenery or that beautiful person or that beautiful food or that smell of just absolutely gorgeous, you know, bakeries. I love bakeries in Europe. And yeah, so it's very, very profound when you really travel with intention and very open mind and open heart.
That's so true. So I'm going to come back to an encounter just in relation to that question I just asked you, but I wanted to ask you first. So we've been talking about your self-discovery and that, but so what makes you feel inspired or like yourself the best?
I actually have, so inspiration for me is, it comes in different forms, right? So because I live like a very like in the moment way of living, I don't follow a particular person. I don't follow a particular thing. Every day I pick up something randomly, even to an extent before when we used to travel, I used to go to the airport and go, the seventh flight, doesn't matter where it's going, I'm going there. And because we're not doing that right now, I'm going to movies and going the seventh movie, whatever it is, I'm watching that. You know, so I even pick up a book and I just flip it and go, whatever this page is what I'm supposed to receive today. So that kind of, like my way of living is that you know, inspiration comes in every form. You have to be very open to whatever you're seeking is what you're gonna find. And if you
you're there, we've just lost Yogita for a minute. Hopefully she'll clock back in.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Yes, you're all right.
Sorry,
you're back.
Sorry,
you're all right.
You know what happened? It's raining really heavy where I am right now. So that's like my true inspiration is, you have to seek first. And whatever you're seeking is what you're going to get. So if you are just like going out there meeting people, hoping to get inspired, you know, you will. There is different levels of inspiration. But if you truly want to be inspired to make a change or be a change, it needs to come from within. So if you start to see, this is what I want, or this is what I want to learn, or this is what I am looking for, this is the kind of guidance I want, and it will just come to you. It will find you instead of you going to find it. So saying that, I'm also very spiritual. So inspiration comes to me spiritually as well. And I actually have, you know, some beautiful people in my circle, which are also inspiring. And I'm constantly enjoying their work and cheering them on. And one of those beautiful people are you, Joe. So I'm always inspired by what you do. And
Thank
I'm
you.
Always cheering you on. So,
yes,
yeah.
You are. Thank you. So, and I know it's incredibly hard for a woman to be herself in an unapologetic way, and we all know it. But I do know you personally, and I thank you very much for that beautiful friendship. And you say when you travel with the right mindset, you connect with places and things at a deeper level, which we do, and we know that when you actually apply that to yourself. And I'd like to encourage women to access what they already have inside, build on it and lift up those feet and open up a way to realize your greater self-sufficiency and your wholeness through acknowledgement and utilization of these dormant and innate strengths. So yes, go on this self-discovery with Yogita. Now, you are a best-selling author of this wonderful book, Finding Me, Myself and I, which I had the pleasure of reading last year. And I must say, I remember reading it and going on that journey with you, and it was very moving, and each and every one of us has a story within. And tell us about writing that Yoga Eater, and are you considering putting pen to paper again and doing any more book writing?
So writing Finding Me, Myself and I was really facing my fears, because as a dyslexic you avoid writing at any cost. You definitely avoid spelling and grammar. So that book was in a making for about 9 years in total. And when it actually really printed it in my hands, it was a feeling that I could not really fathom. Like it took me to a different level of feeling that achievement and satisfaction of sticking to something. 9 years is a long time, so patience was definitely a requirement. Absolutely. But the reason I really stuck with that, because my why was bigger than my fears and excuses. My why was that I wanted to tell every dyslexic person out there that anyone can do whatever they want if they set their mind to it. And this wasn't just for dyslexic, this was for everybody. If anybody ever told you that you were not good enough, or you are not smart enough, or you don't belong, you don't fit in, you know, like I am Indian, not born in India, grew up in New Zealand, and I was the only colored girl in my school. I mean, now there is many all around the world, but back then it was really challenging. You know, going through uni and going through work, like corporate work, I missed out on so many opportunities just because I wasn't white. I know it sounds horrible, but that was my truth. It was happening all the time to me. So I had to figure out how not to fight that system and create my own. Because when you are judged by things that you can't change, like I can't change dyslexia, I can't change the color of my skin, I can't change the way I talk, and now I don't want to. I'm actually really, really proud and happy and content with who I am. It's taken me a long time to get here. So when I'm eventually here, I'm actually telling everybody that just be you, because everyone else is taken and you can only do you the best way you can. So this book is all about really empowering women and encouraging women and sharing my story, because some of that is really raw. And, you know, to publish this, it was almost like standing totally naked for everybody to see everything. And to get to that place, I had to really let go of anybody's judgment. And I wanted to inspire people that that is where life starts, when you let go of anybody's judgment, when you are happy to stand totally naked. Doesn't matter what, not literally. Just be yourself. Just be very vulnerable. Be very open. Be raw. People will connect who needs to connect. Not everybody will connect, and you don't need everybody to connect. It just comes down to the fact that those who seek what you have to share will find you and will work with you and will be in your proximity and will love everything that you have taught them and helped them with. So the book is all about just loving your authentic self. And I could not say it even more simply. And that is the journey that a lot of people are wanting to start, but they're full of excuses and fears, so they don't start.
That's right.
And so I'm grateful for you buying the book. I think you were one of the first ones. I really, really appreciate all the support and
I don't know whether you can see all the little tabs in it. That's what I highlighted when I read it last year on what, you know, there's some encounters in there and some great advice and tips and that, but some poignant moments that you bring to light. So they really touch me. So they're always there as a go-to and read back at those little tabs. So, yes.
Yeah, thank you. And the reason the book is done so small, because I picked the size, because I wanted the book to travel the world like I did. Yeah. And sadly, last 2 years, the book has struggled more than I have. So.
But that's a good thing. So,
and, it is a good thing. It is a good thing. The book did more traveling than I did. I have got a lot more people buying it in US and they want signed copies. So I'm posting them. And also the book's traveling more than I am. And I know, and in France, I've got a big following in there. And I have been like, you know, getting books. So the book's traveling all over the world. And I'm still kind of like grounded in Sunshine Coast and hoping for the, you know, the whole world to open so we can get back to doing absolutely.
Definitely. So that's great to hear. And like I always ask people, you know, have you ever wondered what it'd be like to be a writer? And I always go, yeah, yes, you're one of those, even if you've never considered writing a book before, because we all have a wealth of experiences, interests and ideas, and it's accumulated through our lifetime that others could benefit from. So everyone needs to think about it for a minute and think about what they know through their careers, their relationships, their hobbies and life challenges, because we take these things for granted and assume that no one else would find them useful or interesting. But we're all wrong in that assumption, because there's people all over the world searching for knowledge and inspiration that we can all share with them. So don't let doubt or fear get the best of you. Take a chance, start journaling, start writing, and find your inspiration. And inspiration is everywhere, from the words of your favorite writer to the flowers and out in bloom, the leaves on, you know, your morning walk, the people around you on your morning walk. You just need to open your eyes and breathe it in and take it all in. That's inspiration. Yeah, so helping, and sometimes it helps others to talk to others who are creative to get ideas about what gets their creative juices flowing. So lastly, Yogita, do you have any special offers that you'd like to share with our listeners, or would you like to share anything else with our listeners today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am actually doing my book for a discounted price just for Kick-Ass Radio and podcast listeners. So when you go to my website to order it, just put Kick-Ass Woman in there and you will get a discount. So the retail price is $29.95 and I'm giving it to anyone that wants to buy it before end of November for $20. So that's only available for Kick-Ass listeners.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome. And just use the code as Kick-Ass Radio. So it is going to give you that discount. And the other thing I am also doing is taking interest for people who might want to do, especially in Australia, because I do not know what's going to happen to the world next year. But especially in Australia, I'm looking at doing a group tour and a retreat. And at the moment, I'm just taking interest, so to speak, because there's it's very hard to plan things.
Absolutely.
And I am one of those people that don't like to do things half. If I'm doing something, I want it to be done perfect. Yeah. So once, if you're interested in doing a group travel with me, and traveling has been something that you're really excited about, I'm looking at doing a trip to Uluru. Yes, and it will be a travel with intention, mindfulness, and again, you know, solo discovery, self-discovery, so to speak. So I'm not looking for people to come in bunches. I'm looking for just you coming alone with me. So this is something that you will give yourself as a present, that, you know, to get started on your solo discovery journey, or just get away from all your all the hats that you're wearing and all the responsibilities that you have. And the other one is retreat, which is more for like a business style. So getting people to work on their business instead of in their business. And I'm looking at doing that on the Sunshine Coast. So those are the two different options. If you're interested, you can contact me and I'll give you more information. And as we get more planned and so forth, I'll give you a lot more information. But for now, that's what's happening for now and next year.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. They are wonderful offers, and we'll put all that information and your links up in the show notes for anyone listening and wanting to reach out to Yogita. So thank you again, Yogita. It's been a great conversation and one that has certainly inspired us all. I know that for a fact. So I have an affirmation that I'd just like to finish off with Yogita, and that's dyslexia is not a disease to have and to be cured of, but a creative way of thinking and learning. So thank you, Yogita. We will love to talk to you again, and we'll hopefully catch up with you early in the new year, and we'll see how the journey is continuing. But absolutely. No, thanks, and thanks for being a great guest on Kick-Ass Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe. Absolute pleasure. And yes, we'll definitely catch up soon. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Well, that's it, guys. I do hope you enjoyed our show and our guest. A very big special thank you to Yogita Ridgely for sharing so much of this beautiful story with us. And I hope you have all found the conversation inspiring. So what can you do to help raise awareness about dyslexia? Advocacy is critical to ensuring those with dyslexia receive interventions and accommodations that are required. So we need to raise awareness. So how can we do that? So whether you're a parent, an educator, or an individual with dyslexia, there are some simple but critical steps you can take to raise awareness about that, and that's help dispel myths about dyslexia. And we've talked a lot about that, or we've approached that today. Use the word dyslexia. Talk about dyslexia directly and openly. Support dyslexic students and adults and acknowledge their strengths and their creativity. Share your story and stand up for dyslexia locally in your community and within your school systems. So, guys, as always, I really appreciate you giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on this episode and Yogita with Traveling With Me, Myself and I in the show notes or on my social media pages. Reach out to me and follow me on Kick-Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury. And if you haven't already, I would really love to hear from you guys. So show some love for Kick-Ass Radio Show by leaving us a review on BBS Radio Network. Or you can send me an email, jodie@kickasswomen.com.au. That's it. That's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Keep in touch, POSCOMs. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow-getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.